it seems that the world is getting stronger. In these troubled days, it seems that Satan might win. Just hold on, Christian, fight the fight for a little longer. God's children will be called one day from this world of sin. Trust his word, pray to him for power. Even though there will be trials along the way, all you need he will supply in your final hour. He'll be there to carry you and win the victory. Hold on, fight on.
What an encouragement. In the last days, we just need to fight on. We just need to keep going for right. The devil's going to try to discourage us, and we just got to stick with the truth. When we fall down, it's usually because we strayed from the truth. And I've seen people, when they fall, they try something different. It's like, well, the Bible didn't work. No, the Bible works, you just got to work it. And listen, in the last days, we just got to work it. If you would, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And stand as we read God's Word together. And don't mind these things I'm fixing to put on. Because I need them. And I'll try to get them off as quick as I can, because as soon as I look up, y'all look like I can't see you. You got to get used to these things. In fact, I can see. I probably can't read now. This thing is so clear. Yeah, that's better. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men you were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples of all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He hath raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now I want you to just flip over a page, and we're going to look at just one verse of Scripture with this, chapter 2, verse 13. Paul says this, he says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight and we thank you for the word of God. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to be a blessing to your people. Lord, I pray for Brother Smith and Brother Todd and Brother Combs and God, the wives that are with them. We ask God that you would bless them, and I pray you'd fill their cup. But Lord, we need you here tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be a blessing to these dear people, because Lord, they've been a blessing to me. And Lord, I want to do something to encourage them and help them. And I pray that, Lord, we might do that tonight. And Lord, we need your filling and your power. Bless, Lord, now the word of God, and then, Lord, the invitation to follow, and then our prayer meeting. And Lord, we can't help but pray for Brother Thawne again. And Lord, we ask that, God, that you do a miracle in his life. Amen. God, we pray you do something, Lord, that we couldn't explain and the doctors can't explain. Amen. And Lord, he's a strong, physical young man. But God, I pray you'd strengthen his spirit and help him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, if you would. The Thessalonian church is an outstanding church. I don't know if you know anything about the book, but it's really one of the best books to give to a new convert. Meaning, a lot of times we say, what books should you read? And the Gospel of John is a great book for a new convert to read because it portrays Jesus as the Son of God. But listen, as far as a church, a model church, an outstanding church, something that listen, we as a group of believers ought to pattern ourselves after, this is the church right here. This group of people right here, they're the model church in the New Testament. The people of this great assembly displayed three major virtues of the Christian life found in 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now that's the love chapter, the charity chapter, and it ends up like this: faith, hope, and the greatest of these is charity. Charity. But those are the three virtues of the Christian life: faith, hope, and charity. Now these attributes are seen in three tenses and are found by comparing chapter 1, verse 3 to verses 9 and 10. And if you'll do that with me, and we'll see this. Look at verse number 3. It says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith." Now if you'll go down to verse 9, you'll see how he explains that. What's the work of faith? Where they turned, past tense, to God from idols. The work of faith is repentance unto salvation. Now, there's no works involved, but you know what? The Bible says that salvation comes to us by believing, but it's repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The heart has to be prepared to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and if it's not repentant, he can't get in. It means the door's closed. It has to be humbled. So their work of faith, what did they do? They turned to God from their idols. What they used to put their faith in, now they're putting it in the living God. Okay? They're placing their faith now in the right place. The work of faith. And then notice it says in verse number 3, and the labor of love. And then if you look down, it says to serve, present tense. The living and true God. And listen, that is the motive. Love is the motive for our present service in this life after we get saved. God wants us to love people. Listen, God saved me and loved me, and I can never repay Him, but He wants me to go and do likewise. He wants me to reciprocate that love to other people. And I'm to serve Him, present tense, by love. And then lastly here, it says that the patience of hope, verse number 3. And then it says in verse number 10, and to wait for His Son from heaven. And that's future tense, to wait. The presence, the patience of hope, to wait for His Son from heaven. Now this church was, listen, they got saved the right way. They served God with all their heart. They had the right motive. And listen, they were waiting patiently for the Lord Jesus to come back. Now that doesn't mean they were sitting on the couch or they were sitting on their haunches. They were waiting. They were serving. They were working. And just patiently waiting because they had that hope. And we have the same hope that Jesus will return. Amen. And see, hope causes us to stick and stay faithful. See, I have a hope that Jesus is going to come back. I don't want to fail Him. I don't want to be at the last minute, just call it quits like the song said, and then Jesus comes back and you hear the trumpet blow. And this church had these virtues. Now, Paul spent only 3 Sabbath days. If you'll look at Acts chapter 17, 3 Sabbath days. That's not very long at all. Paul stayed in some churches 1.5 years, 2 years, and ministered to these people. But this church, he spent 3 Sabbath days because of the Jewish persecution that was going on there at that time. But yet, this group, this assembly of believers, this church grew so fast and so strong. And the question must be asked, why did that happen? How did that happen? When you look at the Corinthian church and you see how much Paul had to write and correct and chasten before they started to get on track. Not this church. Not this church. Paul spent 3 weeks with them, 3 Sabbath days. He was there with them. Maybe even 2 weeks if he got there on the Sabbath, but just somewhere around 2 or 3 weeks he spent with these people. But their attitude towards the Scripture was the reason. Look at verse 13 again in chapter 2. For this cause we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the what? The Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believed. You know what they were? They were Bible believers. And you say, well man, don't you got to have like a college degree and know all of the, you know, all these versions and know the Greek and just, you know, so you can... No. These people didn't have all that. You know what? They had 3 weeks with Paul. And yet when Paul spoke from the Scripture, they knew and they believed it was the very Word of God. And listen, that is why they grew so fast, because they attached themselves to the Word of God. And listen, if you're going to grow, I don't care how old you are, don't have, how long you've been saved, if you have not attached yourself to the Word of God, you're not going to grow. Amen. I was saved on a Tuesday night at youth camp, as most of you know, but by Friday, 3 days, I left believing the King James Bible was the Word of God. Amen. That's how long it took. And listen, that changed my life. Now, salvation did something, but my faith was grounded in a book. I knew that it was my final authority. And I have a feeling that's exactly what happened to these people in Thessalonica. They realized that the Word of God was true, and whatever Paul said, and it lined up with the Scripture, listen, they believed it. Amen. Now listen, the Bible says there was even a more noble group than them. In the book of Acts, it says there was a Berean church that says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. That, you know what, they just didn't take Paul's word for it. They searched the Scriptures and checked him out. See, it's one thing to believe what the preacher says. It's another thing to go home and meditate on it and find out if what he's saying is true. In fact, Paul said that's more noble. The Scripture says it's more noble to check the preacher out. Hey, you ought to leave this service and run some scripture. Hey, Brother David's telling us the truth. They were noble. But see, I had a group of people that believed the Bible, and they transferred that belief to me as a young convert at a very, very early age in my salvation. About 3 days. But you know how camp works. I mean, 3 days, you know, that you take a week, that's like a month and a half of preaching there at camp. But listen, what is your attitude towards the Bible tonight? What is your attitude? Listen, these folks had an attitude that it was the Word. They were Bible believers. And listen, I'm a Bible believer before I'm a Baptist. Hey, if the Baptists decide to take the Bible and chunk it, I'll be a Bible believer. But listen, I believe that Baptists are Bible believers. And so, but you know what? I'm a Bible-believing Baptist. This book, not Baptist doctrine, not Baptist history, not Baptist tradition, but this King James Bible is my final authority. And these folks were the model church because of their attitude towards the Word of God. And listen, if we're going to have a church that's going to make a difference, that's going to sound out the Word and be an example, like it said in the first first verses that we just read, we're going to have to believe the book.
Amen.
We're going to have to believe it, not just hold it and wave it and say we believe it, but we're going to have to believe it and open it up and study it and let it work on us.
Amen.
Now, I want to give you three attitudes tonight that this Thessalonian church had towards the Scriptures. And these attitudes and actions are attitudes and actions of Bible believers. And I got 3 points tonight, and I'm going to try to move as quickly as I can. First of all, they appreciated the Word of God. They appreciated it. Now, that word appreciation, we think of thank you, but the word literally means to elevate. Now, when somebody does something nice for you, when you thank them and appreciate them, what do? You lift them up. You elevate them. You write them a card and you encourage them. And you, what we did the other night with Brother Smith, you know what that was saying from church? Thank you for 20 years of service. What did we do? We elevated him. We appreciated him. Not only with the dinner, but with the gifts and with the testimonies and with our lives. Listen, we appreciate him. The word appreciate means to elevate. They held the Bible in high esteem. They didn't receive Paul's words as the words of men. They received them as the very words of God.
Amen.
Well, that's what Paul said. No, that's what God said.
Amen.
Well, that's what Peter said. No, that's what God said. Well, that's what Luke wrote. No, that's what God said.
Right.
See, that's the difference.
Amen.
See, there's skeptics out there. There's scholars out there that, listen, that's how they believe the Bible. Well, Jeremiah wrote that. No, he didn't. God did. That's God's book. That's God's Word. And listen, if we're by, we got to appreciate God's... Our kids need to see that we elevate the Word of God. It has to be elevated in our churches and in our church. We must never treat the Bible as an ordinary book. It's the holy Word of God. Now notice what other Bible notice how other Bible characters appreciated the Word of God. First of all, Job elevated it above his necessary food. Job chapter 32, verse number 12. He said, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job said, listen, if I had to choose between eating or God's word, I'd pick God's word every time.
Amen.
That's pretty elevated. I like to eat. And looking at this crowd in here, we all like to eat. Hey, if you're an American, you like to eat. Okay? But Job said, I esteem his words more than my necessary food. Now, most of us, we don't eat by necessity. It's not, we eat because we just enjoy it and enjoy it and enjoy it and enjoy it. But listen, that's how we're to esteem the Bible. We're to enjoy. You know what? It shouldn't be a drudge to get up in the morning and read the Bible. It shouldn't be a drudge to pick it up in the afternoon and just read it. It shouldn't be a drudge to meditate on it. Shouldn't be at all. We ought to appreciate the Word of God. Now, Job elevated it. Now, let's look at Martha and Mary. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Now, Martha is cumbered about in the kitchen. She's cumbered about with much serving, and the scene is Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. What is she doing? And then Martha complains that she's not helping out in the kitchen. She's not helping out with the domestic duties of the house. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to what he's saying. Now, when Jesus spoke, was that the Word of God? If he's the incarnate Word, it's the Word of God. You know what she was doing? She was sitting under the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. A name for Jesus is the Word of God. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, Martha, 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 you're cumbered about with much serving. He said, listen, Mary has chosen that good thing that shall never be taken from her. You say, what is that? God's word. God's word, it'll never be taken from her. She elevated it. Listen, she elevated it above food preparation and domestic service. Let me ask you ladies something. What do you do when it's time to read your Bible? Hey, doesn't all these things that you have to get done kind of crowd you sometimes? It does. I mean, you can be honest, shake your head, it does. Because listen, as a man, there's things when it's time to read the Bible, all kinds of things flood that you could do. And listen, there are some. And it's in all of us, folks. As soon as the preaching starts, we'd like to find something else to do out in the foyer. We'd like to do something out over some special day. I mean, listen, we've got to get where we elevate the Word of God above, food preparation, domestic service, and all of that. We've got to. And Mary chose. Now, it looked like she was being rebuked by Martha for not helping out. And listen, you should be helping out. The men are in there. You should be in here with me. And Jesus said, no, you're wrong. She's in here. She's doing something eternal. She's doing something that, listen, is going to last forever. And it'll never be taken away from her. Amen. And listen, every time you open up that book and you pour it into your mind and into your heart, you can't lose it.
Amen.
Understand what I'm saying? It can never be taken away from you. Listen, they can take that Bible away from me, but they can't take it out of here.
Amen.
Hey, they can tell me I can't read it, but they can't take it out of here.
Amen.
But see, the problem is, if they were to take our Bibles tonight, for some of us, there's not a whole lot right here. We'd starve to death spiritually. Hey, listen, we've got to hide the Word of God in our heart. We've got to elevate it, listen, above our necessary food. We've got to elevate it above all our little domestic services and things that we have to do. Now listen, those things have to be done day to day, but we've got to make time for the Word of God. And that's what Mary was doing. Mary was making time for the Word of God. And then the psalmist elevated it above money. Psalm 119:72 says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. He elevated it above money. I know people have to work on Sundays. I understand that. But I tell you what, when the Word of God means something to you, you won't want to. You'll work it. You'll do anything you can to get off on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And listen, I'm not. If you can't, I'm just telling you though. But when you elevate the Word of God, you will get your program in line where you can get it Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You will read it every day. And there won't be any question where you're going to be on Sunday. But there are people, listen, that love overtime. And love that, listen, they think, man, just for a few weeks so I can take this vacation, I'll skip church and I'll work. Listen, that's not esteeming God's Word very high. That's not teaching our children to esteem God's Word very high. We're not appreciating God's Word. Listen, the psalmist also elevated it above sleep. Mine eyes prevent the night watches. There's three night watches. That I might meditate in thy word. Hey, we'll stay up to watch TV. We'll read another book for 2 or 3 hours. But you know what? We won't crack the Bible. When's the last time you stayed up or got up in the middle of the night and just opened up your Bible and sat and talked to God? Hey, the psalmist said, you know what that's doing? That's elevating the Word of God. That's elevating the Word of God. See, that's appreciating God's Word. This church appreciated God's Word. They elevated. The Bible says they sounded it out and they were examples. Why? Because they held the Word of God in high esteem. And as a church, we need to hold God's Word in high esteem. And that means not just me holding it in high esteem or the preacher holding it. It's every individual and the sound of my voice and the members of this church making the Bible the final authority in their life. Elevating it above everything else. Then number two, they appropriated the Word of God. They appropriated the Word. The word appropriate means to take as one owns property. To take it as your own. You know what? That Bible is there for you. It's yours. Every promise in the book is. Every chapter, every verse, every line. It's mine. I can assimilate it, I can eat it, I can digest, I can take it in. It's mine. It says they receive the Word of God. Not as the words of men, but as the very words of God. How did they appropriate it? First of all, by listening, hearing. They heard the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But you got to listen. They listened not just with their ears, but with their heart. The disciples who walked with Jesus after the resurrection and they didn't recognize Him, after they did realize who He was, they said this, "Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us in the way?" When's the last time you sat as you read and listened? See, because when you read, you're listening to God's Word. You're listening to it right now. Does your heart burn? Heard a preacher say one time, listen, read it till your heart burns. Till something grabs a hold of you. Till something inside starts to stir. See, the Word of God, it's not just listening to it. It's not just reading it and putting it down. Teenagers, it's not just reading it so you can check off your planner that you did it. It's reading it until something happens in your heart. Because listen, the Word of God, it'll burn. It'll do something inside. It'll do the work. It's just we've got to hear it. We've got to listen to it. Now, Jesus gives a warning in Matthew chapter 4. I want you to turn over there. Or I'm sorry, Mark chapter 4. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. And there's the parable of the candle. But at the very end of that, in verse 24, notice what he says. And he said unto them, "Take heed, what ye hear, and what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you, and unto you that heareth shall more be given. And he that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." You know what that's saying? That's a warning about listening, about hearing the Word of God. How you listen to God's Word is how God listens to you. You'll see another example of that in Zechariah chapter 7, verse 13. How Israel didn't listen to God, and then finally when they prayed to Him, God didn't listen to them. You see it again in the Psalms where God says, "Listen, you mocked my Word, and listen, when your calamity comes, I'll mock at you and I'll laugh at you. Just like you laughed at the preacher. Just like you mocked His Word and sat there and slept." Hey, God said He'll do the same thing. And that's what Jesus is warning us here, is how we listen to God's Word is how He's going to listen to us. See, it's not just you don't have because you ask not, it's because you don't listen either. Well, we ask and ask and ask and ask, and you know, we're asking, Brother Davis, but we're just not getting any answer. Are you listening to God's Word? Are you hearing, not just with your ears, but with your heart? Is something happening inside? See, He warns us there. See, tune out the preaching and God will tune out your prayers. You tune out the preacher, you tune out your Bible reading, and God will tune out your prayers. That's what that's saying right there. Hey, how you listen is how God's going to deal out how He listens to you. Number two, not only hearing, but thinking, meditating. The two most common words we say to our children are listen and think, aren't they? Listen up. Listen, 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 listen. Why don't you think? Think. Think. Hey, teachers in the academy, what do you say? Think. Think. Think about it. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Think. Think. Hey, two things. Hey, God, you know what God's just saying? Listen, listen. Hey, hear. Listen to what I'm saying. Think about what I'm saying. Meditate what I'm saying. Listen, you'll get it if you'll just think. By meditating on God's Word, it becomes part of our inner man. Meditation is to the spiritual man what digestion is to the physical life. Meditation is a digestion of a thought. I read about a church in Great Britain that the members would sit 20 to 30 and sometimes longer after the preaching was done, after the benediction, after everything was done, the people would just sit there. And they would think about what was said before they'd go home. They digest what was said. That's meditating. We live in such a quick, click, shift world that we don't sit down long enough. Be still and know that I am God. How are you going to do that? You got to meditate. You got to think a little bit. These little quick daily bread devotionals for 5 minutes, college students, so you can sign in your, you know, I did my devotions. That's not going to cut it. Meditate, meditate, meditate. That's how we appropriate. That's how we make God's Word part of us. We appropriate His Word. They received it as their own by listening to it and thinking. And then lastly, they not only appreciated God's Word, they not only appropriated God's Word, but this church applied God's Word. Now, I can appreciate and I can appropriate, but nothing happens until I apply it. I want you to turn over to James chapter 1 and look at verse 19. And the Scripture says this, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak." You know, if your mouth's going, your ears don't work. You ever notice that? Well, this thing's flapping, these don't work. And when this thing closes up, you can hear better. It says, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. If any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer," that's applying the word, "he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass," that's a mirror, "for behold, he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." He just looks in there, sees what he needs to see, and just goes on and says, "Eh, whatever." Now look at this, "but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." What God's saying here is when you apply the Word of God, you're blessed. See, I can elevate it. I can elevate it with my mouth. I mean, I'm doing that right now. But see, I got to apply it. That means when the Bible says to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but even much the more as you see the day approaching. That means, hey, when the church services get a little bit long, don't whine about it, because that's the way it's supposed to be in the end times. Hey, we should be where we want to gather more and more. The reason is persecution hadn't hit yet, folks. But when it does, we'll want each other. We'll want to be close to each other. We'll want to be a family. And the reason we're not right now is because, you know what, the devil hadn't showed his fangs yet, but he will. That's why you, Brother Reed, can go to the mission field and listen. These people are close-knit. They want to be together. They'll walk miles. They'll go. You know why? Because they're being persecuted for what they believe. And in America, we're not. That's the difference. Turn over to Mark chapter 3. Jesus is healing on the Sabbath day, and of course the Pharisees are being Pharisaical. A man has a withered hand. Jesus commands, "Stretch forth thine hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other one. God's commands are God's enablement. When God says, see, the power of God's word is this: when God tells you to do something, He's enabling you to do it. When he told that man, "Stretch forth your hand," it's withered. "I can't do it." "No, I can't." See, then he would have never gotten healed. But once he listened and applied God's word and stretched forth his hand, "Oh, I can. I can." Let's apply this to salvation. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When you appropriate that, God saves you. When you apply that to your heart, when you apply God's word to your heart, It enables you. Listen, it'll bless you. It'll accomplish the purpose for wherewith it was sent. 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Stretch forth thine hand. When's the last time you confessed your sin and believed God would forgive you? Stretch forth your hand. Listen, if you're lost tonight, stretch forth your hand. Just stretch it out there. You apply God's word, and God will do what He says He's going to do.
Amen.
You can trust it. You can trust it.
Amen.
The conclusion is this. A Bible believer is one who appreciates God's word in his heart. He appropriates it to his mind, and he applies it to his will. That's what a Bible believer is. You know what Trinity Baptist Church needs from every church member? If we're going to be a model church, if we're going to, listen, the vision our pastor has for us, it's not just that we go soul winning so that we can show everybody. There has to be something deeper. There has to be a motivation, and that comes from God's word. See, this church grew at a rapid rate. Why? Because they attached themselves to the Word of God. They attached themselves as newborn babes. I mean, they just got saved. Man, the gospel just got to them. Paul had been with them 3 Sabbath days. You know what they did? They just attached. It says, but as newborn babes, just got saved, desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. Listen, we need to be Bible believers. We don't need to just carry our Bibles. We don't need to say we believe the Bible. We need not only to elevate it to the place it needs to be and appreciate it, we need to appropriate it. We need to get it inside of us, but then we need to apply it. We need to do what it says to do. We need to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. My question to you is, after looking at this model church, would you fit in? I had to ask myself that question. Would I fit in? Do I love the Word of God? Do I read it? Do I appropriate it? Do I get it inside? Do I listen to the preacher? Do I apply it in my life, and not just to my life, but to my family's life, my children, my wife? Am I a Bible believer? Let that question sink in. Take just about 15 seconds and see if you even picked the Bible up today. And if you didn't, you know what? You need to be down at this altar. And listen, if there's some area of your life as far as your relationship with this, you need to get it right. So that, you know what, we can shine. There are people that need to see a people that love God's Word. The difference will be in this church, when people come in, will be that God's Word is elevated and that the Holy Spirit of God is here and God will do the rest. But we've got to elevate this thing. We've got to appropriate it. We've got to apply it to our lives. And if that's not happening in Trinity Baptist Church, we need to fall on our faces and we need to rededicate ourselves to God's Word. Because we have God's Word. We don't have Luke's writings. We don't have Peter's writings. We don't have John's writings. We have the very, very, very Word of God. We have something we can take to our kids and say, listen, this is the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Bible. Bible. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this book.